Yes.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Was Jaden telling you to go for it? Was that, were you going to go for it anyways, but was he kind of pleading to go for it?
No, but we were going to go, yeah. So sometimes we just look for the yard marker to go, but he definitely wanted to, for sure. So I was certainly not going to give him that win. He's got a lot of others, but, that was a shot that we said, hey, on the other side, we know how good this group is too. So if we got a shot and we can go take it, let's go take it. And so that's where the decision came for on that one at the end to try to go, basically that's, you're trying to go win the game right there. And it takes, some space to go there because Jaden and Terry have really put in a lot of work together. Although we may have not seen that come to fruition, in the first 2 weeks, for those of us, who've been back in Ashburn, we've seen that. And so I think when you put the work in, you have confidence that, all right, if the moment comes, we're going to go take our shot.
Did he say there that he wants to give him credit for a lot of things, but he's not going to give him credit for the decision to go for the 4th and 4?
Yeah,
that's essentially what he said right there, right?
It is. He said he got a lot of wins, but he wasn't the main decision maker on that 4th down.
Okay. Coach, you're doing a great job, okay? I think you've had these guys ready to play. You're doing an excellent job. Who cares at that moment? It would be kind of nice to think that, your quarterback, that you had a lot of belief in him, which they do. And that 4th and 4 was interesting, right? Because it's 31-26. There's about 4 minutes to go. You're not really in field goal range. The ball was at the Cincinnati 39-yard line. Remember, they had recovered from a 1st and 15 earlier in that drive on just 2 plays, by the way. And let's not forget that, the Ertz fumble on that play that lost on the 1st and 15 play that got him back to, 2nd and 9 or whatever. Huge recovery on that fumble. That's a big recovery. 31-26, 31-26, and now you're going to be in a game where you finally, left the field without points on the board. That was a big play, but they overcame that pretty easily. And then they're trying to overcome this 2nd and 20 after a false start. I wanted to mention, in sort of the other observations, a lot of confusion on that last drive. They had to call a timeout. On that 3rd and 7 before the Terry touchdown, and then on the 3rd and 7, they didn't have 11 guys on the field to start. They did have 11 when they finally snapped the ball. Aikman said in the call of that play, I think they only have 10 on the field. I think there were 11 on the field when they finally snapped it, but a little bit of confusion. But you know who wasn't really upset by the situation at all? Was the quarterback. On that 4th and 4, that's not, I don't think, for Seibert, field goal range, 56, 57 yards. Do you really want to kick it there? You got to go for it. It's the only move there. You can't put your defense back onto the field after a missed field goal or a punt, only up 5. Because with 4.5 to go, they could walk you off with a touchdown. They're going to score a touchdown. More likely than not, you had to go for it. That's the biggest no-brainer 4th and 4 go for it situation of all time. And it's context. It's not analytics. It's context. It's you can't leave the field with a less than 7-point lead and put your defense back out there against Joe Burrow, T. Higgins, and Ja'Marr Chase, or you're going to lose the game. Jaden does a great job on that over the middle to Zach Ertz. That was a look on 3rd and 12. He went back to back on quick stuff to Deami Brown for 16 of the 20 yards. Great play calling in that spot. you know, on second and 20, you know, at the 40, at your own 45-yard line at that point, are you going to be able to throw the ball down the field? Well, maybe they can. But he wanted to get back to something manageable. He gets back to a third and 12. He gets back to a fourth and 4. I mean, the third and 12 call, there aren't a lot of answers for third and long. I think there will be more for this team because of the quarterback. But you got into that fourth and 4, and then it's a no-brainer. Now, if Deami Brown drops the ball and it's fourth and 12 at the Cincinnati 47, well, you got no choice in that spot. You got to punt and pray that your defense can, you know, somehow stumble into something good. But fourth and 4, that was a given. I didn't even think we needed any of, you know, the drama of Jaden looking over saying, go, 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 go. And I would kind of agree with the coach. Yeah, no, that was kind of a given. We worked ourselves back into an opportunity to go for it on fourth and 4 because as much as I'm a defensive guy, I do not trust our defense to get a stop. So all of that sort of part of the other observations from the game. There are three other things real quickly. So I thought it was interesting, and I'm looking at the snap counts here for the first time because I did not get them until recently. So I just told you what the D tackles were. Jamin Davis, 15 snaps, 24% of them. I wonder how many of them it was as a linebacker versus a three-point stance D end. I think all of them. I think he played linebacker last night. It certainly appeared as if he played linebacker last night. I thought Jaden Daniels, and I didn't mention this, I thought he could have kept it more on a lot of the zone reads. You know, I'm assuming they're zone reads. In many cases, they aren't, but I think in a lot of cases, they are. And I thought he could have kept the ball on some of those zone reads instead of leaving it with Brian Robinson Jr. In particular. And there's one formation that I've come to really find kind of interesting because I don't think I've seen another team line up in an I formation offset from the quarterback. And they've done that. They had Brian Robinson Jr. and Austin Ekeler on the field, you know, a lot last night, at least early. And there's that one formation, and I think we saw it in the Tampa game and maybe again last week, but we saw it last night. They got a couple of things that they're doing there. There is the inside handoff to the up guy. There is the, you know, the eye back, you know, basically sprinting right as if he's going to catch a swing pass and then throwing back in the other direction. There is, I think, a quarterback counter potentially off of that with a lead fullback, if you will. That formation's an interesting one. You had a direct snap again to Brian Robinson Jr. last night. But I don't think I've ever seen an I formation that is offset from a quarterback in the shotgun. Both of those backs. Interesting. One other quick note. On the touchdown pass that the Bengals had on the fourth down play, that was the touchdown that led to a 31-20. No, that was another touchdown earlier. Sorry, it was the touchdown. When did they score on the fourth and goal? That was on the drive. Excuse me. That was on the drive that made it 28-20. All right, it was 28-13, and they went for the fourth and goal at the Washington 2. No doubt they had to do that because, you know, they're thinking the same thing. Zach Taylor's thinking the same thing. We have to score touchdowns, people, unless it's fourth and 30, because we can't stop the other team. And I thought Noah I, number one, made a really good play on an inside out on that receiver whose last name I can't pronounce. You can, because you're a Bengals Joe Burrow guy. But I thought he made a really good play. It was one of the better defensive plays in coverage. He just couldn't stop him from barely nudging the ball over the plane of the goal line. Actually, of their defenders in the secondary, I think number one, Noah Igbinoghene, Noah I might be their better option at corner than Forbes or Davis, who, by the way, Davis did not I don't think he was on the field last night at corner. Was he active last night? Maybe he wasn't active. I think he was active, though.
No, he was like, active, but I don't know that he played a lot on defense.
I don't think I didn't see Mike Davis on the field once, I don't think. I'm looking through the snap counts right now. Where is he? That's Jamin Davis, who was out there for 24% of the snaps. Again, I think most of them at linebacker. Yeah, Mike Davis did not see a snap defensively. 13 special team snaps. That was it. Noah Igbinoghene, 84% of the snaps. There you go. St. Juice and Sanristil and Noah I were the three corners. I actually think he, you know, I think they've got a better shot with him. We'll see what happens when Forbes comes back. Oh, one last point defensively. I can't believe I missed this. You cannot cover Ja'Marr Chase with one person. I understand there were a couple of zero coverage blitzes. There were a couple of six-man blitzes, a couple of five-man blitzes, which means you are going to be singled up with somebody. But he's the one you cannot be singled up unless you're in zero coverage. Then you got no choice. But Sanristil on that first one, mismatch. The second one, I think, was St. Juice, I think, maybe. You cannot single cover one of the two or three best wide receivers in the game on any play, especially with a quarterback as smart as Burrow is. It seems like every single time he realized man coverage on number one, yeah, we're going to throw it to him. Look, I think part of it is that they would tell you, well, you know, you have to generate a pass rush against these guys. We can't do it with four. We can't really do it with five. So if we send two extras, there are going to be players being covered by one person because you're only allowed 11 on the field. And I get that. I do. But that's a guy that if you single coverage him, it's three-step drop, not a five-step drop, and it's six, or it's just a big, big play. Two sacks of Joe Burrow last night. You know, that's they doubled their season total. Fowler and Armstrong Jr. shared one, and I think the other one was 90, Jean Baptiste, who actually, it's clear they like what number 90's given them, energy-wise for sure. All righty. Your chance now. Phone lines open, 301-230-0980. I see everybody there on hold. Your chance to react to really one of the more memorable Washington games and performances in a long, long time. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, theteam980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
Reset the play clock. They don't. With 3 seconds left, Daniels flips. He's got another, and this time it's Trent Scott. The big tackle was the extra offensive lineman. And what a night for the Commanders.
First touchdown pass of his career. Trivia question. Who was it? Trent Scott on a tackle. Eligible play. This from Coach Ever Never Never. Where's his grade? It's funny because remember last week, Denton, we had a caller say you gave him an A. That's just such on a curve. You're not gonna have anywhere to go now that you've given him an A. And I said, well, we could always go A plus. How about? I think this was one of the best quarter. I said earlier, this is one of the best quarterbacked games in a long, long time in this franchise, and not just for a rookie. It may not have been Doug in Super Bowl 18. It may not have been Rip in 1991, but the all-around performance was sensational. Coach, A plus. And I know I can't technically go higher than an A plus, but I can give them more A pluses in the future. That was brilliant last night by Jaden Daniels in just his third game.
Well, PFF agrees.
At this point, Denton, you know, if first quarter was a B, second quarter was an A, the final exam was an A plus, the third quarter was an A plus, he doesn't need to take the final at this point. He can just leave and say, I don't need to take the final. I got an A anyway.
PFF agrees with you, Kevin. Nick Akers tweeted out that Jaden finished with a 95.9 overall grade. That's the highest single-game grade.
Nick Akers tweeted that?
Yeah, Nick Akers tweeted that. It's the highest single-game grade that any Washington quarterback has ever earned in PFF's history. It's also the highest single-game grade of any quarterback this year in the entire NFL.
Whoa. Whoa.
So he deserved that A++.
Well, it's barely higher. I mean, there were some interesting quarterback performances this weekend. I mean, we had some outstanding ones, but that's pretty wild. Look, think of it whatever you want. And I have, you know, opinions on a lot of what they've done, and I think they've gotten so much better. And I'm a fan of Nick's because he's a fan of the team and he watches it so closely. But you're saying that the PFF grade, what was the number again?
95.9.
Yeah, that's on a scale of, you know, 100. And 60 is basically an average performance. So anything over 60 becomes better than average, then much better than average, then really good, then really great, then, you know, almost perfect. 95.9, pretty damn good. The highest for any quarterback this season. I mean, what's the follow-up act? You know what the follow-up act is? I just can't wait to watch him Sunday in Arizona. Can't wait to watch this guy play. That's what I said earlier. I mean, look at their schedule. You know, they're going to have some games flexed if they, you know, can harvest a few more nuts and be in the conversation team-wise, record-wise. I think they're going to be. I think they're going to be for a while here. They're just too good with him and the scheme and the offense right now. There are some big challenges. The Browns defensively, the Ravens defensively. You know who's not terrible defensively? I mean, I know that they gave up 47 in the opener, but the Panthers aren't terrible defensively if healthy. They'll play the Giants and the Steelers back-to-back. The Eagles, that's a three-game stretch of some pretty good defenses. They got the Saints later in the year, good defense. You know. Yeah. Let's go to phone lines, 301-230-0980. Let's start with Pete, who's calling from North Carolina. Pete, your reaction to the 38-33 win over Cincinnati and truly one of the most memorable quarterback performances in franchise history. Go ahead.
Absolutely. I couldn't sleep last night. I was ecstatic over it. And your evaluation of the game, the quarterback, the defense, fantastic. I just want to make one little point about the defense. They're not very good on too much, but they've been really good in stopping the two-point conversion plays. And it's been a factor. I know it's just it doesn't mean much, but it's actually been a factor.
Yeah. Yes.
And you know what?
They played a team last week without a kicker, so they had to stop two of them. And last night, that would have been a three-point game, although it would have, you know, still been 38-35 after the last one. They still would have had to recover an onside kick. But think about what you just said, Pete. It's like, hey, the other team scores a bunch, but at least we're stopping the two-point conversions. No, I get it.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. It's pretty sad, though. But you know what? The whole organization is different now. It definitely has changed, and it's so refreshing right now. Thanks for all the insight on the game. You're just fantastic at it. You're the best.
Oh, thanks, Kevin. Mate. Appreciate it. Let's go to Chuck. Chuck's calling from South Carolina. Chuck, go ahead.
Hey, Kevin. What's up, man?
How you doing, Chuck?
Hey, do you remember last week? Phenomenal. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. It was a lot of syllables in one word, if I recall.
A lot of syllables. Yes, sir. A lot of syllables. And I also said when Jaden Daniels took that hit, I said he was going to be a different quarterback. And we saw what we saw last night, and I'm just telling you, man, Jaden Daniels brought tears to my eyes. I'm 52 years old, and I had tears in my eyes last night watching the game. I seen the Redskins win Super Bowls, and last night he brought back that feeling. I mean, he gave me an incredible feeling last night that we could actually win again in this league. You know what I'm saying? It was just such an incredible feeling last night. I know we was playing a winless team, but that guy, he's so incredible, man. I'm just telling you. He's so incredible. He plays so well under pressure. I like the offensive coordinator. He made the game so smooth for him. And then the fact that when he speeds the game up, he plays better. When the game is going faster, the faster the game is, the better Jaden plays. And also, I'm going to give a shout-out to the defense. They did not play well, but they played well enough to get that win. You know what I'm saying? And I appreciate that. And I know they're going to play better. They're going to get it together. But
Chuck, you're the best. And by the way, an absolute phenomenal call. When you score on every single drive in the game, with five of those six drives ending in touchdown, 38 points, and you're hanging on for dear life at the end, needing Zacchaeus to recover an onside kick to clinch the game, it's a reason to be concerned defensively, at the very least, because in most cases, offensively, if you score on every single drive, you are winning that game by double digits, and you're never sweating it. And, of course, they sweated it last night. They scored on seven drives last week and were sweating it. Now, it was seven field goals, I understand. There is a limiting factor right now to what this team can be right now this season. I know it's only 3 weeks, and I'm the biggest, you know, advocate of don't make anything a referendum early in the season, definitely week one, even the first 2 weeks. But I was concerned after last week because of what the Giants really were offensively coming into that game and what they looked like offensively on paper. Now, look, Malik Nabers is an absolute freak, okay? But the Giants got confident against Washington. They did whatever they wanted to do offensively, and it took a dropped pass and no kicker to win that game. It was concerning, even though it was only week two. Like, really? You can't stop the Giants? And then last night, it's Moss and it's Chase Brown gashing them. Just 1, 7, 8, 9, 10-yard run after another. And, you know, it's not like they're making up for it with great pass rush and great coverage, you know, on pass downs. So there's a limiting factor right now as we evaluate this team after just three games. The limiting factor is clearly their defense. But offensively, in a league that is offensive, they've got a chance to win some games, and maybe enough of them for the late season games to matter. But the limiting factor is you can't legitimately contend for massive stakes in late January when you can't get off the field defensively. Let's go to Bobby in North Carolina. Bobby, what's up?
Hey, Kev. That was pretty fun last night. But understandable. Anyway, a couple things. You just said about our offense. Kevin, if they play offense like this, we're going to have a chance to win some games. We're going to be in a lot of football games. But can I talk of just that last scoring drive? You know, we got behind the chain. Second 20, we made a play. Third and 7, out of a timeout, a lot of chaos going on. Not enough people on the field. People running in and out. Finally get the 11th man in there. Zero blitz. Our quarterback stands tall in that pocket, gets hit in the mouth, and throws a dime piece to Terry in the corner of the end zone. That play right there for a third-week starter in the NFL was big time, Kev. A lot of people can't do that. They just not capable of doing that. But that play right there, zero blitz, and he saw the guy coming off the end, and the guy hit him, you know, a legal hit. He took a shot, but he threw a strike to Terry. And, you know, Kev, the defense was bad again, but they didn't seem to be out of position as much as they have been to me. They really hustled around, and and tried hard. We definitely got some problems still in the secondary, but, you know, they were around the ball. But, you know, sometimes when you play defense, the quarterback and the receivers will be better, and they've got a star quarterback, and they've got two really good receivers, and then that other guy they got that's catching balls, her name is pretty good too, the guy from Hawaii. So their offensive weapons are really good, but it is a great team win. I mean, ecstatic, and if they can stay out on the West Coast and maybe steal one Sunday and come back home and be 3-1 in quarter of the season, man, that would go a long ways if we could somehow get that win on Sunday. But a good team win. You were spot on everything you were talking about this morning, man. As usual, you know, you're the best. You know that. But good game, good win, and I'm sure all of Skins Nation is enjoying today for sure, bud. Have a good day,
thanks,
man.
Thanks, Bobby. Appreciate it as always. Just on that last touchdown pass, it wasn't technically zero coverage blitz. They showed seven-man rush. They dropped two into coverage after the snap, but there was a free runner off the left side, and Jaden got absolutely blown up. But like I said earlier, what's just great about that particular play is there is a free runner. It's an unaccounted for rusher. And Terry's at the 19 when the ball leaves his hand with a guy bearing down on him that's going to hit him on the arm, underneath the arm, right up into the rib cage to the upper shoulder. And that ball lands 6 yards deep in the end zone right in Terry's hands. This dude, we talked about this all offseason. He's an elite deep ball thrower. The other guy in the draft was Penix Jr. in terms of being an elite deep ball thrower. He is a great anticipation thrower. It has looked like a little bit in the first two games, maybe even the first 2.5 games, including some moments in the first half, where he has had to want, you know, he's wanted to see it a little bit more. Remember, tighter windows in the NFL than in college, especially when you got Brian Thomas Jr. and Malik Nabers and Mason Taylor at LSU with, you know, two first-round future offensive linemen, etc. I mean, there are a lot of open people. But he processed, you could tell, in the big games against the good defenses last year. And last night, that throw, Terry's at the 19-yard line. Okay? He catches it 6-7 yards deep in the end zone. That is deep ball elite level throwing under pressure. Actually, I think the true zero coverage blitz on that final drive was when he took that shot to Terry in the other corner of the end zone, and they didn't connect on that play. And I'll tell you what, that may be one of those teaching points for Jaden, because I think Ertz was wide open and probably the better option, because I think that was the I'll go back and try to figure out exactly what the down and distance was. But let's get back to the phone lines, 301-230-0980. Let's go to Ross in Tampa. Ross, what's going on, man?
Hey, Kevin, what's going on, man?
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good, man. Real quick, because you were talking about the grades and stuff. I've been listening to you for 10 years, as I mentioned before. I always felt as though if you were a teacher – I don't think you would curve any grade. Like, if there was a basketball player in your class who had, like, a 69.93 and he needed a 70 to remain eligible, I don't think you'd do it unless he was a Maryland Terp commit.
No, it depends. I'd probably make him do at least one thing that was pretty easy just to get it to a 70.
Okay, cool. But, yeah, shout-outs to the Commanders. And also, shout-outs to the Panthers and the who's the other team on my three-leg parlay that won me a lot of money that was really terrible that we were not favored? Oh, Denver. Yeah, that got me a lot of money. But, no, I like Jaden's patience, man, in the pocket. I do agree he had Ertz wide open, but there were some times in the pocket where he was contemplating taking off, but he kind of stepped still and kind of kept looking, and then he ultimately ended up running off. And I'm just like you. I was up to like 1 o'clock knowing I had to be up at 5 a.m. watching Ryan Clark and Scott Van Pelt go crazy in the studio. More so Ryan Clark. But since I'm from the area, this team right now gives me 2006 Indianapolis Colts vibes. Not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl this year, but I'm saying, like, as long as the offense is doing good, we can always bail out the defense. But as long as we put points on the board, I think we'll be in most games, because Cincinnati may be 0-3, but their 0-3 is nowhere near as damning as the Jacksonville Jaguars 0-3. I do think Cincinnati's going to be a contender later in the year, man.
All right, brother. I appreciate the call, as always. I want to get to everybody else. Phone lines are lit, 301-230-0980. Want to hear what you think after truly one of the more memorable games in recent franchise history. I know that the pickings have been slim when it comes to, you know, memorable nights or memorable afternoons. This, to me, immediately, I do the flashback to shock and awe, the New Orleans opener in 2012. That game was spectacular. I think the RG3 game on Thanksgiving Day in Dallas, honestly, is one of my favorite results of the Snyder era. To go down there for the first time ever and win on Thanksgiving Day, and he threw four touchdown passes, I think, in the first half, right? Or three of them were in the first half. But there is a lot that's different between that guy and this guy. A lot. And I think some of the throwing ability and processing ability is already starting to become apparent to I think, hopefully, all of you. All right. Joe, Chris, Ryland, Bones, Billy, Ian, anybody else? We do have a phone line open if you want to jump in, 301-230-0980. We'll take your calls. We'll try to push Ben back a little bit so that we can get all of you guys in today. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Massive win for the Commanders last night, 38-33 in Cincinnati on Monday Night Football. They scored on every possession. They're the first team since 2000 to score on every possession, excluding kneel downs, in two consecutive games. Jayden Daniels, 21-23, 254 yards and two touchdowns. He received a 95.9 from PFF. It's the highest grade that a Commanders quarterback or Washington Redskins or Washington football team quarterback has ever gotten from PFF. It's also the highest single game grade that any quarterback in the NFL has received through the first 3 weeks of the season. Terry McLaurin caught four balls for 100 yards and that late touchdown. The other Monday night game saw the Bills demolish the Jaguars 47-10. Josh Allen had four touchdown passes to improve the Bills to 3-0, and the Jaguars now sitting at 0-3. And that's what's trending.
Down and five. Good protection aired out. McLaurin, he's got it. First and goal inside the five. And a beauty from the rookie Jayden Daniels for 56.
You know, what was great about that is that they finally connected on a big one. And he had missed the one on the previous drive when Terry's defender fell down. I think he had a little bit more time to set his feet and get that one. But it doesn't really matter to him. He has that, you know, mentality that the great, you know, quarterbacks, cornerbacks have, which is next play. I think it'd be really hard to shatter that guy's confidence in any way. An absolute beauty on a drive in which basically they were great on first and second down. It was a six-play, 75-yard drive. And, you know, that got the ball down to the four, and then Jayden kept it on that first and goal read option where he's rather, you know, nifty with his ball handling skills on that zone read. I still think he should have pulled it a few more times in the game. But we will take what was, I think, as I mentioned earlier, one of the more memorable quarterbacked games in franchise history and one of the best quarterbacked games in franchise history. And Denton hit me with the PFF number. 95.9 for Daniels, the highest single game grade any Washington quarterback has ever earned in PFF history. Are you telling me that Sam Howell or Taylor Heineke didn't have a game in which they had 95.9? Kidding. That was gratuitous. The highest single game grade for any QB this entire season in the league. Pretty impressive. Paulie, go ahead.
Big guy, head up to the W, man. How you doing?
You called it. You called the win. You and Denton both called the win. I called a cover with a chance to win, but you guys went out on a limb and called a win last night, so congrats.
Hey, see you, man. I was so pumped up last night, man. I could have DM'd you all night.
I know.
Hey, look, man. Hey, look, as long as he doesn't walk into Kingsbury and Quinn's office and tells them what plays he's not going to run on Sunday, we good. We got our guy.
Yeah.
Hey, but look,
right.
Man.
Yeah. I don't think – wouldn't you guess right now from afar that that's never going to happen?
Hey, man, if anything, he's going to walk in there and tell them, let's run them plays again. What plays y'all want me to run? I got you. You know what I mean?
Hey,
look here, though. Shout out to the offensive line, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Kingsbury called a hell of a game plan. But I want to say this, man. You know, Jaden Daniels, right? Stinnett, Mikey Sinstra, McCafferty. You know, we got some production from these draft picks, man.
Yep.
It's called developing players. You know what I mean? So, I mean, that's what I was most excited about is, you know, we ain't have a bunch of rookies standing there on the sidelines, you know, and a bunch of old veterans in there. Jean Baptiste, you know, he played pretty well last night, man. So we're getting major contributions out of these draft picks, and they're getting better week in, week, you know, through 3 weeks, but they're getting better each week. And especially Sandstrom, man. He got toasted on that first play with Jamar Chase. And it looked like me, he made his mind up at that point, like, F this, man. I'm just going to play football. Because he came back and he blew that screen up.
He blew that screen up. That was a big spot right there. You're right.
Man, he had some extra oomph with him, and he pretty much locked down for the rest of the night, man. So all I'm going to say this is, you see how excited we are as fans, right? So imagine that locker room, man. This is when you start believing in your quarterback and the guys next to you, this is how you get better. This is how you get better as a team and an organization, man. Shout out Dan Quinn, too, man, because a lot of times I've seen a lot of games in these spots against teams where we're supposed to be a heavy underdog, and we don't even show up. Not only did we show up, we showed out, man. Hail to the W.
Thanks for the call. Look, the last Monday night game this team had, even though it was under Riverboat, they were a massive underdog against an undefeated team, and they won that game with Taylor Heinicke at quarterback. There's been some, you know, the Pittsburgh COVID game was on a Monday when they were undefeated. No, last night really was one of those nights. And we talked about how this was an opportunity for a massive conversation changer as it related to the team overall and the current season we're in. I'm just not big into week two, week one, week three, talking about building block seasons. The NFL, I've followed it like you guys have. I've bet it for many years. You just don't have any clue as to how far away you are from actually being in the hunt. There's a real fine line. Stay healthy, get a quarterback to play at a high level, you know, catch an opponent at the right time. Last night you could make the case you're catching Cincinnati at the wrong time, and they still got through it. Ian, go ahead.
Hello. Right. And look, it's early on, and I know a lot can change, but in a quarterback-driven league, Washington looks like they have a quarterback. If, for example, Cincinnati recovered the onside kick and went down and won the game, I know many fans would have been upset because you had a chance to win a game, etc. But I think the overall sentiment would still have been positive because of what Jaden Daniels and that offense produced.
Why are you even bringing up if they had kicked the converted the onside kick, which, by the way, they would have scored. They would have gone down and more likely. They only had 40 seconds, but still there would have been a pretty good chance. Why do you even bring up that?
Because the point I'm making is the offense.
It was a good night, regardless of win or lose.
Right. And so I think we talk about this all the time. The expectations are define what a positive or negative association. This season, for most fans, I know not you, it's like you said, the quote unquote building block, this, that, the other. I think knowing that we have a quarterback for the future and a long-term future trumps any short-term result. And seeing that performance and that ability was so remarkable and such an A++ effort that it says it trumps everything. Look, I think this, I predicted 7-10 this season. I'm not too far away from that because the defense is awful. But it doesn't matter because you have another offseason or two to retool the defense.
I don't even want to talk about the next offseason or two. That's where you and I are different. You know, okay, you can get on the whiteboard and start planning for 2027 and create budgets for that year. I have a quarterback and an offense right now that doesn't punt. I mean, are you kidding me? We got a chance to win a lot of games this year. Yes, the defense is limited. There's no guarantee at 25-26. Let's enjoy right now. How many times over the last 34 years, have we been able to not even get to the end of September and realize, oh my God, it's over already. Over already, let's start talking draft. I'm living in the moment. I think part of the reason I'm living in the moment here is in following this league from a betting perspective, you know that you have no clue as to what teams are going into a season, let alone the next week. But there's always one differentiator, one thing that matters more than anything else, and that is the quarterback. And they got a guy that is truly skilled, talented, seems to have the intangibles that are so important, and by the way, appears to be coachable through 3 weeks. So I'm looking at, let's go kick the you-know-what out of Arizona, as, by the way, a 4.5-point underdog, get to 3-1, and who knows? I mean, the Eagles have Tampa, the Giants, short week, you know, the Cowboys play the Giants. This has a chance to be a season. You're right, if it isn't a season, we have to get to the end of it and say, yep, but at least we got the quarterback right that we can build around. I'm with you, just not now. Everybody else on hold, stay there. We'll get to your calls after a few messages. Ben Standing at about 12:25. Your reaction to one of the most memorable quarterbacked games in franchise history. Not an exaggeration. Historic on many fronts. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're free and live on the Odyssey app.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.